This evening, Mark chapter 5, if you've heard this message before, maybe it'll work a little better this time, but I like enjoying the Bible with people that enjoy the Bible, and I'm going to read this story with you. If you want to stand together, you've been sitting a while, you're going to be sitting another 90 minutes or so. Hope he's joking. All right. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus passed over again by ship unto the side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, come in the press behind, and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. We've already enjoyed hearing truth from your word. Our hearts have been encouraged to hear about souls being saved around the world. And God, to hear a man that loves his church talk about what a blessing it's been to him really, really lifts all of our spirits, and we thank you for it. God, we ask one more time you'd bless tonight. Help me to honor your word, honor your son through the preaching of the Bible tonight, and we pray these things in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. This is a most unusual, thank you, brother, most unusual passage of Scripture. It is the only place I know of where God records a miracle within a miracle. He's going to work a great wonder for this man Jairus, but it surrounds another great wonder that God is going to work for this woman with the issue of blood. And both of these stories I believe to be literally true. Both of these stories, I believe, are historical accounts of something that actually happened. And then we're going to make some application from them and teach some Bible truth from them. I don't want to start in with the typology and start in with the representation without you understanding. This woman was sick for 12 years, and she did get to Jesus, and he did heal her. Praise the Lord, we believe that. And Jairus' daughter was beyond help. And the Lord was able to help her. And we believe that absolutely happened. And so having said that, I want to talk to you about this miracle within the miracle here that we have in Mark chapter number 5. Because there are two tracks that run through your Bible. And if you confound them, you will end up in a robed priest church. If you confound them, you will end up in charismatic confusion. If you confound them, you will end up in dead Calvinism. These two tracks are Israel and the church. Israel and the church. And when you rob truth regarding Israel and try to apply it to the church, you lose Christianity. And when you take Christian principles and try to force them onto Israel or make Israel go away and appropriate them, then you lose the blessed hope of God fulfilling all the promises and the prophecies that he had made. And so what you have in your Bible is you have God, or really the Bible is a most unusual book. If you picked up your Bible and divided it from Genesis chapter 12 all the way to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the crucifixion of Christ, he is really focused on one people. the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it's primarily a book about life on earth with brief glimpses into heaven and the hope of the saints once they leave this world. And then there's this window in your Bible where Jesus Christ is crucified and rises from the dead, and this gospel goes out to all the world, and it was announced and decided in Acts chapter number 15 that God has set aside His purposes and His program for Israel while He builds His church. And then one of these days, maybe today, one of these nights, maybe tonight, the church will be complete and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. And then the Lord will pick up where He left off with the nation of Israel. The church has not replaced Israel. God has not forgotten about Israel. We're just running. This is the main track right now. And God's going to get back to that, that other track. And so the best way I can explain it to you is this. Russell County, it's booming, as you know. Lebanon is just growing by leaps and bounds. And I tell you, if you come out of Abingdon and drive to Spring City Baptist Church, it don't look one bit different than it did the first time I ever made the trip and came up here. And if you live in the Orlando area like we do, where it takes you so long to get anywhere, when you pull into Abingdon and that sign says congested area, you just laugh. That's the funniest sign I've ever seen, man. It's like, congested compared to what? but what you have now, you have a bypass. You have a bypass. And what happens is that road that runs through town, it's still running through town. But there's this little loop that goes over here, and it has a starting place and an ending place, and then the main road continues. That loop is the church. Your Bible is Israel, 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 all the way till Jesus Christ sits on that throne in Jerusalem and then a kingdom for 1,000 years. But there's this little bypass called the church. It doesn't mean Israel's gone. They didn't tear up the old road when they bypassed it. There's two roads now for a little while, and then we're going to get back onto the main road. So having said that, I want to just look at this passage with you, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Verse number 22 says, "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue," that's Jewish, right? "Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet." So here's a man who is a Jew. He has faith in the Lord. He needs the Lord. He comes to the Lord. He pours out his heart to the Lord. He says, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." When Jesus came, Israel is alive as a nation. When Jesus came, the hopes and promises of Judaism are alive. There's still a synagogue. There's still a temple. There's still a priesthood. There's still offerings. But I'll tell you, it's at the point of death. It's pretty sick. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Lord didn't have much good to say about that religion. The Pharisees were sound in their doctrine, but corrupt in their practice. The Sadducees were a joke. The scribes were corrupt. It's on life support, if you will. It's still there. It's still alive, but it's not doing well. And so this man says, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." There's just a little glimmer, if you will, of faith. Here's a man that knows Jesus can help. Here's a man that knows what his daughter needs, what his family needs, what his nation needs is Jesus. And he comes to him and asks for help. And we see that brief revival in the first 3 years of the Lord's earthly ministry before they finally turn and reject him and decide to stay with Caesar and Pharisees and apostasy. But Bible's in verse 24, Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. So there's crowds around Jesus, but only one man praying to him. And there's multitudes coming to see what Jesus is doing, but only one man who's saying, "Jesus, please do it for me." This really characterizes all of what you have in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Jesus said, "You don't seek me for any reason that I'm giving out free food. You're not following me for any reason other than I can make you well." But there are people within that crowd that stand out from time to time, like a Zacchaeus or this man here, who really truly put their faith in the Lord and want him to come into their home and make a difference in their lives. And so Jesus, in response to this little glimmer of faith in Israel, Jesus, in response to this little bit of life that is left in Judaism, says, "If you want me, I'll go with you." And then suddenly, While he's on the way to that man's house, on the way to heal that man's daughter, the story is interrupted by this woman who just barges in out of nowhere, uninvited. Not, excuse me, sir, could I have a minute of your time? She's just pushing her way through the crowd, and look what the Bible says. A certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Now, I'm going to take the liberty. If Jairus represents Israel at the time that Jesus Christ came into the world, this woman represents the Gentile nations at the time that Jesus Christ came into the world. Not only are they sick, like Jairus' daughter, not only are they dying, like Jairus' daughter, they've been sick as long as that girl's been alive. She's 12 years old. That woman's had an issue of blood 12 years. And you know what the Bible says of this woman? It's so typical of your ancestors. Your ancestors, Gentiles, my ancestors, Gentiles. That Bible says she spent everything she had. She tried everything she knew. And it didn't, not only did it not make her better, it made her worse. Can I say to you, it's really hard for Americans to understand the Bible because we read it like Americans. We just think go to the church of your choice. You do understand that for thousands and thousands of years, your ancestors didn't have any church to go to. They didn't have a scripture. God gave all those scriptures to Israel. They didn't have a God-ordained priesthood. They didn't have a place, an order of sacrificial service and approach to God. Here's what your ancestors knew about God. He drove us out of the garden. He drowned us in a flood. And he scattered us at the Tower of Babel. And he hadn't spoken to us since. I'm not saying it's right, but it's no wonder they decided to worship the wind and the river and the trees and the rocks. And the God is frightening to Gentiles. Romans 1. You know where Romans 1 starts? You know there's a God and you ought to be afraid of him. That's how you approach Romans, because they don't know anything else, but God will hurt us if we don't fear him. So this woman, you know what she tried? She tried throwing babies in the fire. Didn't make her any better. She tried sacrificing virgins on mountaintops. It didn't make her any better. She tried making statues and carving images. It didn't make her any better. She tried having multitudes of gods, you know, monkey gods and rabbit gods and river gods. And nothing made her. She's still dying. She's still on her way to the grave and has no hope. And everything she ever tried, all it did was take her money and didn't give her anything in return. That's the religions of the world. You know, the only people that know they're saved are Bible-believing Christians. Everybody else says, well, I hope so. I'm trying. I don't know if I've made it yet or not. I don't know where I'm going when I die, but I'm trying to do the best I can. Can you imagine being a priest in a church for 70 years and then at your funeral, nobody knows where you went? That's a sad thing. And you had a man stand up here tonight, so when I was 7 years old, I knew I had eternal life through Jesus Christ. But your forefathers didn't have that light. And the missionaries that you support are going to people who to this day don't have that light. That's this woman. Now watch, because this is a real blessing. The Bible says here in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, everything changed. When she heard of Jesus, she didn't know much about him, but she heard of him. And the Bible says, this is so good. She came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, if you look in the margin of your Bible, you know what cross-reference you'll find for that? None. You know where the Bible says, touch his clothes and you'll be healed? It doesn't. She just made that up. She has no basis for that at all. She's had no revelation from God. There's no word of any prophet. There's no verse of any psalm. She just said, if I could touch his clothes, he could make me whole. You know what that is? That is God's incredible mercy to the Gentiles. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Can I give you some similarities here? You know what's not in the Bible? Sunday school. Bus ministry. Altar calls. Sinner's prayers. Bus routes. Vacation Bible school. Summer camp. Tracts. None of that's in the Bible. You know what God said? Well, you know, fair enough. I let you go 4,000 years without any scripture. Just do it. Do it any way you want to. Amen. I used to go to these camp meetings and I would think, man, I'm not saved. I can't remember what hour of the day it was. I'm not saved. I still wear blue jeans. I'm not saved. I drive a worldly car. You'd hear so many different things preached that you have to do to get saved. And then you talk to 20 different people and what you find out, all of them got saved a different way. Some people came to Jesus Christ through door knocking. Some people came to Jesus Christ through radio ministry. Paul was never on the radio. Do you understand what I'm saying? This woman, she heard about Jesus. She responded in the best way she knew how with the limited information she had. And she did something that isn't really even ordained of God, but she put faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ, and the Lord honored that, and it was good enough for him. Praise the Lord. You know what that is? That's you guys. That's us. Somebody stand up and say, you know something, the only way you can get saved is to hear the preaching of the Word of God in a church service and walk down and kneel at an altar. Well, 9/10 of the people at church didn't get saved that way. Somebody else says, you know how you get saved? Well, you got to commit a bunch of crimes and go to prison, and some wild man will come in there and preach a prison ministry sermon, and you'll get saved in a prison revival. And somebody says, well, that ain't right. I'm glad Jesus said, here I am. Here I am. Come the best way you know how. Come in faith, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. She's really a picture of how God is working in the church, or to build his church. And so the scripture says in verse number 29, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him. Now this is why I say, I really believe this woman is a picture of the church, and I'll tell you why. In those four Gospels, I don't know, somebody's probably done it, Brother Scott's probably done it, I don't know how many different people are healed by Jesus Christ. I don't know how many different people upon whom Jesus works a miracle, but this woman is the only one where the Bible says the virtue that Jesus Christ possessed went out of him and into her the moment she laid hands upon it. The moment she put her trust in him, his virtue went into her. Jesus cleansed lepers. That all they got was cleansed leprosy. Jesus gave sight to the blind. All they got was sight. This woman, a picture of you. This woman, a picture of me. The minute she got to Jesus Christ, by faith, the best way she knew how, his love into her, his peace into her, his righteousness into her, his joy into, that's an amazing thing. You know what you got that Judaism doesn't have? You know what you got that the God-ordained earthly religion doesn't have? You have, as Brother Scott preached, God's Holy Spirit coming to live inside you and producing in you the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. You know what Israel got when God blessed them? Better crops. That's nice. Lots of kids. That's nice. And the power to kill bad guys. Right? That's way different than what you got. You might not have gotten a raise. In fact, you might have lost your job. You understand? We don't get earthly material blessings guaranteed, though we're living pretty good. But what we did get is the virtue of God, from God into us. That's pretty amazing. I think this woman's a picture of the Gentiles coming in and become part of the church. And so the Bible says in verse number 31. So the disciples said, unto him, thou seest the multitude touching thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Thronging thee, say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. This is really a blessing. She didn't confess all her sins. She didn't even know what they were. When we preach repentance toward God, we're not saying sit down and make a list of everything you've done wrong since you were 4 years old and name them all to God. You couldn't do it. You didn't even know, really, you didn't really know what sin was till you got saved. And the longer you were saved, the more you read this Bible, you start finding out things were sin you've been okay with for 40 years. And one day God just put his finger on something. What happens? Once this woman gets to Jesus and he saves her life and puts his virtue into her, now she begins to develop a communication with him and a relationship with him. And he begins to develop communication with her and a relationship with her. It's amazing. She's talking to the Lord of glory about her life and what's wrong with it. And he's talking to her. The Lord of glory is talking to her about what he's done for her. Isn't that us? Praise God. Verse number 35. No, I'm sorry, 34. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Not works, not law keeping. This is pre-Calvary. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What did Jesus Christ do for you when he came to him? He that very day reconciled you to God. You're at peace with God and God is at peace with you and he's made you whole. Now you may not know how to appropriate it, but the minute you got saved, you got everything you'd ever need to live the Christian life. Did you know every single day that Jew woke up and had to go out and buy or procure or kill or harvest what he needed to live for the Lord? Do you know since the day you got saved, you hadn't had to spend a dime to get something you need from God to live a Christian life? Everything you need to live for the Lord, you're whole. You got the entire package. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You never have to go back to an altar and say, God, give me the Holy Ghost. God, give me this. God, give me that. He gave you the whole thing up front. You just have to give him more of you. You don't have to get more of him. Praise the Lord. And then watch this. 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. She just disappears. She was there and then she's not. She's the center of the story and then she's out of the story altogether like she was never there to start with. That's you. That's us. There's no church, and then down comes the Holy Ghost, and there's a church, and then all of a sudden up we go, and there's no church. Where'd she go? Whoever wrote this book, I don't think it was Mark. I think Mark recorded it. I think God wrote it. All right, so look at this, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Do you know that if the Bible's true, and I believe it is, if Bible prophecy's true, and I believe it is, by the time the church is raptured, Jesus said, shall the Son of Man find faith in the earth? Judaism will be completely apostatized. Don't think about it. Everybody that knows the Lord is taken out of the earth. That means the only people left are people who don't know the Lord. You think it was bad when Jesus walked the earth? It'll be multiple times worse when that great tribulation begins. How in the world could you get people to voluntarily take a mark from the beast and trade their souls for groceries. It's coming.
It's
coming. How could you? People say, well, you know, if times get tough, people turn to the Lord. Have you read Revelation? The worse it gets, the more they blaspheme his name. The worse it gets, by the time Jesus Christ comes again, the Bible says every eye shall see him and they will wail and mourn because of him. 7 years of Satan, 7 years of 21 tribulation judgments, 7 years of death and dying, and here comes Jesus, and the people say, oh no, not him. That's how bad it is. So when that woman disappears and we pick up the story of Jairus, that girl's dead. She's dead. And you know what people would say? Baptists are starting to say it. Israel's dead. God's done with Israel. Look how rotten Israel is. God could never. God, really, you don't believe God could raise the dead? So I think Israel's corrupt. Well, you show me a country that's not. I don't think Israel deserves God's blessing. You show me a nation that does. We're not basing our understanding of prophecy on who deserves anything. We're basing on what God said. Roll that stone away. Lord, excuse me. I just think I need to let you know, by this time Lazarus stinks. Corruption has set in. You really don't want us to roll that stone away. And Jesus got to be thinking, you obviously don't know who I am. This is not political, what I'm saying. This is not political. It's not political. Israel is no more deserving of financial support from America than any other country or any county in America. We're not speaking politically. We're speaking biblically. God gave you hundreds of prophecies that haven't yet been fulfilled about the regathering and the restoration and the conversion and the kingdom of Jesus Christ over the 12 tribes of Israel. And either God's a liar or these Baptist preachers need to get right. Lord hasn't changed mind about things. They just spend too much time watching the news. And they're interpreting the Word of God in light of politics instead of interpreting politics in light of the Word of God. Amen. All right, that's not in the notes. That's just a little extra there I thought I'd throw in for Spring City. So anyway, the Bible says here in verse number 36, now watch this. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now what did he just say? When she was sick, I could heal her. And you believe that. Now she's dead. You believe I can help you now? And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Now, can I show you something here? Before that woman intervened, before that woman interrupted, there were multitudes thronging him. By the time he gets to that house, only a remnant remains. You see that? We went from a multitude to a remnant. And then the Bible says, verse number 38, he come at the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. By the time the Lord gets to the house of Israel, they are in great tribulation. Tumult, weeping, wailing. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead but sleepeth. That's one of the verses we have on the wall in our church nursery. Why make ye this ado and weep? The other verse is, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's a great nursery verse. Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh father and mother, damsel, them that with him, and entereth him where the damsel is lying. Do you know, at this? I don't have time to run all these verses tonight. Do you know when Jesus Christ comes back, there will be a remnant of Israel that has survived the tribulation who will still be opposed to what he is doing. How'd you get in here without a wedding garment on? Throw him out. He sets up a judgment, Matthew 25, and puts sheep on the one side and the goats on the other, excuse me, and throws the goats in a fire. Well, they got through the tribulation, but they don't get saved and be part of the kingdom. So these people in the house, when Jesus get there, and he says, I can still help that woman. Ha, ha, ha. They laughed at him. I can raise her from the dead. Oh, no, we don't believe that. So he throws them out. You might be here when I get back, but if you don't trust me, I'm not going to let you stick around and see what I'm doing. That's not the church. That's Israel. That's an earthly thing. And so verse 41 says, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted. Anytime you need to know something in a original language, God will give it to you in the passage. Your Bible's complete, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Now, the one speaking in that room, he has the power to heal a sick girl, and he has the power to raise a dead girl. And he does it. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Praise the Lord. Now, here's the next thing. And then we'll start heading down the home stretch here. If you're going to go to heaven, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be part of the rapture, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be part of the body and bride of Jesus Christ, the church, you're going to have to put your faith and your trust in the gospel and believe on Jesus Christ. When Jesus got to that house and healed that girl, you know why it astonished them? That woman thought, all I got to do is touch his clothes and I'll be whole. But the people in that house didn't think he could do anything. People say, well, I don't think Jesus ever set up his kingdom because Israel, the condition they're in, they don't even believe in him. It doesn't require their belief. You got to believe on him to be saved. Nobody has to believe on him for him to set up a kingdom. Daniel 2 says he'll just crush them. Revelation 19 says he'll just torch them. There's a million people in the Valley of Megiddo, and they pull out their swords. There's one man coming on a white horse, and they all pull out their swords and say, you're not going to be king. And he just fills that valley with blood till it's as high as the reins on a horse's bridle. Jesus Christ is not going to set up his kingdom when men consent to it. He's going to set up his kingdom when he comes. And you can like it or you can lump it, but it's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Now, one last thing tonight, which will require two other passages, but we're doing okay. Verse 43, he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. That's really cool. You know what happened to that woman when the Lord was done with her? She disappeared. You know what happened to this girl when the Lord raised her from the dead? He stayed and ate with her. Two different tracks. One's Israel, one's the church. You know where you're going? You're leaving. You know what Israel's doing? They're staying and having a feast. Let me show you. Two places, and then we'll be finished, and I'll head out of town, and you can talk about me when I'm gone and how long I preached. But I didn't. Scott wouldn't let me get up here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brother Suttle referenced this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Scott's been such a friend through the years and a blessing to our church. He'd come down to our church for Bible conference. He'd say, all these preachers get 40 minutes. I need 50 because I talk slower. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 14. Now this is you. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Is that you? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again and spit out our gum and didn't get a tattoo and showed up for Sunday school. Look, people start adding all this stuff because they're desperate. People aren't getting saved, so they're trying to retread people. Don't add to the gospel. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in him will sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord, that's us, should not prevent them which are asleep, that's those whose graves we've wept over. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. In the days when Brother Don was starting out in his ministry that he told you about, in the days when Brother Odom had stepped aside and Brother Logan had stepped in the days when I was a young Christian, all the preaching was about the rapture. All the songs on the Christian radio were about the rapture. We didn't say bye, we said see you here, there, in the air. There was an excitement, a buzz, a certainty among Christian congregations. We could be raptured any day. And the date setters killed that. And the moral majority and political involvement killed that. And the church today isn't hoping for the Lord to come. They're hoping for the next election. I'm telling you, our hope is leaving. Our hope is being caught up to meet the Lord. And it is a blessed hope. It's a glorious hope. It's a purifying hope. We need to talk about it again like we used to, and sing about it again like we used to, and believe in it again like we used to. Our story is the story of that woman with the issue of blood. One day, we're just not there anymore. Hallelujah. All right, come to the book of Ezekiel. So that's that woman. That's the future of the church. We just vanish from off the face of the earth. Hallelujah. All right, Ezekiel chapter number 37. But here's that girl. This is Israel's future, and it's very, very different. Ezekiel 37, verse number 1. The hand of the Lord is upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And now, I'm going to give you a little advice here. This next verse, I'm going to give you a little advice. If God ever asks you a question, any question, I'm going to show you the answer. Ready? Verse 3. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. That's the answer. If God should ever ask you anything, just quote those words right there. O Lord God, thou knowest. He said to me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You talk about an assignment. Preach to a valley full of bones, bleached bones. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring a flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Preacher, that's all you got to do. Just do what God told you to do and preach it. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Isn't that amazing? How many of you remember the Amplified Bible? Anybody? A few of you remember that. The New Testament was like this big. Every possible meaning of a word, they would put it in there. Verses go on and on and on. Nobody ever memorized anything out of the Amplified Bible. But anyway, the Amplified Bible at verse 7 says the knee bone connected to the thigh bone and the thigh bone connected to the hip bone. And they made a whole song about it. Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. Wouldn't you like to see that? That's freaky, man. And the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy of the wind, prophesy, son of man, say of the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. That's what they're telling you now. we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open up your graves, Jairus' daughter, and cause you to come up out of your graves, Jairus' daughter, and bring you, look, into the land of Israel. That's not the church. Two different people, two different promises, two different futures. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So what do you have? You have in Mark 5, you have a miracle inside a miracle. What do you have in your Bible? You have a wonder inside of a wonder. Israel, God's purpose with Israel has been brought to a temporary halt while he builds his church. And when he takes his church off the scene, he will resume his dealings with Israel. The faithful in Israel, those who die in faith, will be resurrected to live in their land. Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will be raised up to dwell with the Lord forever. One is a heavenly people, one is an earthly people. If you want to be part of the church in its future, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel's future, just sit back and watch. It's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Now, whoever wrote Mark 5 had a pretty good understanding of the whole Bible. I think it was the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So, brother, sister, here's my last word to you. That's the end of the message. But this one I'm going to say to you. This church, like every Bible-believing church in America, if you want to have another anniversary a decade from now, all of you have to win one person to Christ and get them in this church. That's not a big assignment. One person, one family in 10 years. But in 10 years, it'll be just as good and just as strong as it is now. Or the last one out will lock the door for the final time. Great fellowship. Great love amongst yourselves. Great doctrinal truth from your pulpit. Great music from your platform. Don't let it die with you. Everybody reach. You ought to pray every single day. God, between now and number 100, help me to find, win, and ground somebody to take my place and keep this church going. It's not a big assignment, one in 10 years. But if we all drop the ball on that assignment, we're finished. Every church in America be finished. Amen. Father, bless this.